Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Ayin Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins from the top line of Daf Ayin Dalet. Before we actually learn the Gemara, as you scan ahead a bit, you will notice a couple of triangles, one of our geometric series markings. We have an explanation that accompanies new sugyas and new structural notes as each one appears in the outside margin. In this case, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, in which we feature a triangle, and you can see we have written Shnei Deois B'Divrei Rav, two presentations or opinions as to what Rav said regarding someone who ate from the dangling limb of an animal that was slaughtered. We have been discussing the issue of limbs of fetuses and of animals that have some type of problem with them, where either in the case of the fetuses, we're talking about a pregnant animal whose fetus stuck out one of its limbs prior to the shechting of the mother, prior to the mother's being slaughtered. And we have also spoken about animals with dangling limbs. They're basically attached to the animal by a thread, so to speak, and the animal is then shechted. What is the halacha? In this case, we're talking about the dangling limb, the Eiver HaMeduldal, and what is the penalty, if there is any, regarding someone who ate from the meat of such a situation. So now the Gemara. Yosef Rav Yosef Kameda Rav Huna. Rav Yosef was seated in front of Rav Huna. V'Yosef V'Ko'omar. And Rav Yosef said, Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. And Rav Yosef quoted Rav Yehuda, who in turn had been quoting Rav. Ochloi lozeh loike. One who ate the Eiver HaMedulo, the dangling limb from an animal that was slaughtered, or let us just say, leave out the slaughter for the time being, he ate from a dangling limb, he warrants receiving Malkus, lashes. Omar Lei Hahum Rabbanan. So there was someone there whose name isn't apparent. He says, Lo Tatsisu Lei. Don't listen to what Rav Yosef is saying. Rather, Hochi Omar Rav Yitzchok Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Mishmei de Rav. This is a more accurate version of Rav. Ochloi loze, eno loike. One who eats from dangling limb does not warrant receiving malchus. So, here you have someone who's nameless arguing with Rav Yosef's version of Rav. Omar le Rav Huna, anan aman nismoch. So Rav Huna asked, who should we rely on? Here we have two seemingly opposite versions of what Rav says regarding the Eiver HaMeduldal, and it's not clear which way to go. Well, ahadrinu Rav Yosef li'ape. Rav Yosef, this is an expression, ahadrinu li'ape, means he turned his face, but it's a response accompanied by anger. Rashi says it's a bekas. He turned his head in anger, and he continues. Omar Lei, Rav Yosef says, "My kushya, what's the problem here? Ki amri ano b'misa do'isanipul. When I said my point, I was saying it in the context of an animal that died, and the limb that was dangling from it is said to have become disconnected prior to the death. Whereas with the death of the animal, the limb becomes disconnected. This concept of oisenipo we have been discussing in our previous shiurim. And as far as we are concerned, and Rashi adds this point, the malchus, the lashing that he receives, is because he has eaten a limb from a live creature. The fact that the animal just died, and we said the death completes the separation, so in effect it got separated from an animal a moment before its death, hence it's a separation of a limb from a living animal. That's called Eiver Min HaChai, and that warrants malchus. That deserves lashing. Ki Omar Ihu, the Gemara goes on, when he said Eino Loke, that's with regard to Beshchita, the Eino Oise Nipol. When it comes to the slaughtering of an animal with a dangling limb, slaughtering does not complete the falling, the disconnection, so that when the animal is shechted, it's shechted, and the shechita, the slaughtering, covers the dangling limb, the limb that still is, technically speaking, attached, and therefore it's considered something that doesn't deserve receiving malchus. The shechita removes the penalty of malchus for eating such a thing. Omar Rava, Minoha Milsa di Omar Rabbonan. From where do we know the following that is said by the rabbis? In other words, the following principles. We have Aleph, Misa Oise Nipol, and Beis, Shechita Eino Oise Nipol. From where do we know these concepts, that death completes the disconnection of a dangling limb, and Shechita, the slaughtering, does not do that? Dichtiv. There's a pasuk, and we will just mention parenthetically, this pasuk comes from the context of shrutzim, which is not really the topic of animals being slaughtered, but rather by shrutzim. But the pasuk nevertheless says, V'chol asher yipol olav mehem b'moisam yitma. To appreciate this pasuk, Rashi explains, let's hold off on the Rashi for a minute. And he says, the Gemara says that from this pasuk, which we have quoted in its entirety, by the way, on the inside margin, we've written in Vayikra Yudalev Pasuk Lamed Beis. It says there, "V'chol ashipol olav mehem b'moisam yitma mikol kli eitz o beged o orash o sak kol kli asher yosem lochav b'em b'mayim yivo v'tomei ad ho orev v'toher." So the pasuk is saying that anything that falls off of them in their death, they communicate tuma. So limute mai, the pasuk that says in their death, what is this coming to exclude? Ilema limute bechayehem. If you think it's coming to exclude a case of a limb that becomes disconnected when they are still alive, well, that idea is minivlosam nafka. That's learned from a different pasuk, from Vayikra Yud Aleph Pasuk Lamed Hey. So it's we can't say that the role of this pasuk is to create a distinction between something that falls off when the animal is alive and something that falls off when the animal is dead. That's not the point of this pasuk. Elo shmamino, rather, what this pasuk is telling us is misa oisenipul, the ein shchita oisenipul. That's only a function of death that creates this disconnection, but through slaughtering, it does not create disconnection. In other words, that's what we said before, that ein shchita oisenipul. These were the two points that we saw before under Aleph and Beis, just about four lines up. Omale Rav Ado Bar Avo L'Rova V'hokro B'shrotzim K'siv. How can you use this pasuk of V'chol Shipol Elov B'hem B'moisam Yitmo as a source for our topic of dangling limbs of animals when the pasuk is dealing with a different category of the living kingdom, namely shrotzim? When we speak about animals, we're talking about kosher variety animals, cows, sheep, goats. How can you apply a pasuk that's in the realm of shrotzim? Shrotzim are all kinds of crawling creatures that are of an they're all unkosher. How can something from shrotzim be applied to behemos? Omar lay. So Rava answers, im eino inyan l'shrotzim. The pasuk of b'moisam is a mi'ut. and it cannot be speaking about, it can't have relevance to Shrotzim. The Lav B'nei Shechita Ninhu, because they are not something that lend themselves to being shechted in the first place. So that the pasuk, that it's true, it's printed in the context, that it's written in the Torah in the context of Shrotzim. However, this particular pasuk has no relevance to Shrotzim. And the method of analysis we're using right now is based on oral traditions. This concept of eino inyan, if it has no relevance to topic A, then we will apply it to topic B. That's something that you can do only by force of the oral tradition, not something that one does on his own. So what we are saying now is that since this pasuk, Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Lamed Beis, which mentions B'moisam, and we saw in this pasuk a distinction made between death versus shita, in other words, made an inference. With death, the limb is said to fall off. With the slaughtering, the limb is not said to fall off. The concept of slaughtering has no relevance to Shrotzim. Therefore, the Gemara is explaining we will apply this pasuk to our topic of behemos. So let's read that again. Omar le im eino inyan l'shrotzim, if the pasuk of b'moisim has no relevance to shrotzim, the lav b'nei shechita ninhu, because there is no relevance between shechita and shrotzim, teneu inyan l'behema, then let us refer it, the pasuk of b'moisim, to behemos, where there is a room to speak about shechita, because shechita is the method of killing an animal in order to eat it. The Gemara asks, though, can we really use the pasuk of b'mosam as a source for shechita eino ose nipol v'akati? But still, meboyalei, I need the pasuk of b'mosam by shrotzim for shrotzim. I need it for that topic, and don't tell me im eino inyan tenei linyan acher. Rather, I need it ke'ein misa. I need it for the following halacha, which means a sheretz communicates Tumas Sheretz when it's Ke'ein Misa, when it's dead, like at the time of death, which means Lachin Mitamin, when they're still fresh, the body of the dead Sheretz is still has dampness to it. Yevashin Ein Mitamin, but once they become dried out, even though it was a dead Sheretz, but it's dried out, at that point it no longer communicates Tumah. So, what do we see? We see that we need this pasuk for that purpose, which is a sheretz relevant halacha. So, what is the source then for misa oisenipol and ein shechita oisenipol? The Gemara answers: Trei b'moisam ksivi. There are two times that the word b'moisam appears, and thereby freeing up one of them for our drasha of ein shechita oisenipol. Omar Rav Chisda, machlokes be'ever de'ubor chai. The machlokes that we have seen till now, the machlokes tanoim, whether shechita, the slaughtering, is metahir, the ever of a fetus that emerged before the mother shechted. This concerns a case where the fetus itself is alive. Aval be'ever de'ubor mace, when you're talking about the extended limb of an ubar that's already dead, an ubar, the fetus that's dead, divrei hakol, even the chachamim who were prepared to view the shechita as removing tuma or as preventing tuma from setting in, nevertheless, in this case, shechita oisa nipol, the shechita of the mother causes the limb of the fetus that's extended to be considered disconnected. And therefore, the shechita has no effect on it, and therefore, that limb will be tome. It will be tome. V'rabba omar, k'machloikis bozeh, kach machloikis bozeh. Rabba disagrees with Rav Chisda and says that just like there's a machlokes tanoim concerning the extended limb of a living embryo, so too there is a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim regarding the extended limb of a dead embryo. in which case the Chachamim will stick to their approach that shechita of the mother works to remove or prevent the tumah of that extended limb. If any of our points are somewhat vague, as it may be a result of lack of familiarity of some of the previous dapim that we have learned on this topic, but for the benefit of those that have already learned these previous sukkahs, we're not going to repeat all of the details and scenarios of those cases. So we highly recommend catching up, so to speak, if there's any lack of clarity here. Continuing in the Gemara, Ben Shmoinechai, the Mishnah said, Ein Shchitoso Metaroso, Lefi She'ein Beminoi Shchita. In the argument that was seen in the Mishnah regarding the effectiveness of Shchita regarding a Trefa, there was a comment made that the Shchita of the mother does not mitahir the extended limb of an eight month pregnancy, and that's because the 8 month pregnancy is something that will not live, and in its variety, in its category, it's not viewed as a regular animal. And hence, Shechita is not said to be of benefit in that case. We have, on the other hand, a Tanaic source that seems to be at odds with that which appears in our Mishnah. Before going on in the Gemara, let us take advantage of our Nosei, our topic heading, that's in the outside margin. Point 1, Ben Shmoinechai, Ein Shechitasu Mitaroso. That is what we saw in the Mishnah, that the slaughtering of a mother with the with an embryo that has an extended limb, but the embryo itself is an 8 month pregnancy, so the shechita does not remove the tumah from that type of situation, from that extended limb. We'll see a mocher, another Tanaic source, that says the Shechita is mitaher, and the Gemara now continues. V'hatanya ben Shmoinechai yochiach. Here the Braisa is using the case of the ben Shmoinechai to prove that that Shechita of a trefa is mitaher. She'afal pi shiyesh b'mino shechita. Let us retract over here. Let us say it more accurately, that this source is being used to show that the shechita will not be effective. But the difference between this source and the Mishnah is that this source describes the Ben Shmoinechai as being considered part of a realm of things that do have shechita, in contrast with our Mishnah that described the Ben Shmoinechai as something she'ein b'mino shechita. So what is the explanation of this difference? So reading the source again, it says, Ben Shmoinechai yochiach, let the case of the 8 month pregnancy extended limb fetus prove that shechita of a trefa will not be effective in removing tumah. She'afal pi shiyesh b'mino shechita, even though it's considered part of the realm of things that have shechita, just like other, let's say, standard trefos are animals that have, let's say, organ deficiencies, but they were part of the realm of cows, goats, sheep that were subject to shechita. Nevertheless, here we have precedent for something that's part of the realm of things that have shechita, and yet ein shechitaso mitaroso. The shechita is not effective. So this source is trying to argue that from this we don't, and therefore we don't have proof that shechita of trefa will mitahir it either. That the problem though is how do we view the 8-month pregnancy? Is it something ein b'mino shchita or yesh b'mino shchita? The Gemara explains, Omar Rav Kahana, yesh b'mino shchita agav imo. As far as this brisa is concerned, the ben shmona chai, this 8-month pregnancy fetus, is considered within the realm of shchita. That is true with regard to its mother. Namely, if you have an animal that has in it an 8-month pregnancy, and you shecht the mother, that which is inside the mother, even if it happens to be an 8-month fetus, is allowed to be eaten. So, together with its mother, it's considered something that is subject to shechita. If we look at the Rashi, we are looking first at the Dibor Masl Ben Shmoina Yochiach. And Rashi says there, Ben Shmoina Yochiach, She'afal pi shiyesh b'mino shechita, ein shechita metarosoi, im nolad v'shochto. If an 8-month pregnancy baby or fetus is born, then shechted, the shechita does not help it. However, if the 8-month pregnancy is not born, everyone agrees that the shechita of the mother does enable the fetus to be eaten. And therefore this brisa is arguing, so too by trefa, even though it's within the realm of things that have shechita, lo titarena shechitasa, the shechita of the trefa itself will not be effective in preventing tumah from setting in. Umasnisin katani, but our mission on the other hand taught ben shmoina ein b'mino shechita, it's not even in the realm of things that have shechita. So we resolve this, or Rav Kahana explained that the brisa is arguing from the standpoint that together with its mother, namely before it's born, it has shechita through its mother. Our Mishnah, though, in describing the Ben Shmoina Chai as being Ein Bamino Shechita, was simply saying that together with its mother, that factor, that characteristic, doesn't figure in our logical argument. So let's now read this inside. V'tana didan, our Tana, which did not present the Ben Shmoina as proof or as evidence that Trefa does not benefit from Shechita, because Mina di'ime lo porach, he doesn't argue the case for the we'll call it the anti tahara of trefa through this kind of description describing the ben shmoina as being yesh b'mino shechita, because as a part of its mother it could be shechted. That having been said, maybe we'll just review the issue we're dealing with in general, because maybe the Mishnah is no longer familiar to us. We saw in the previous Mishnah an attempt to prove whether or not shechita of a trefa removes tumas nevela from it. At the end of the day, we know that shechting a trefa removes tumas nevela from it. As far as our Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah came to a conclusion on that topic. As far as this brisa is concerned, in the meantime, it was arguing from the example of the Ben Shmoina Chai that even though it is part of a category of things that have shechita, which is just like trefos are a part of the realm of bokar and tzon, things that have shechita, yet the shechita of the Ben Shmoina Chai does not enable it to be, is not metahirit. So too, the shechita of a treif would not be metairet if you're just looking at this at this stage. Therefore, the Gemara goes on and says, "Ulahai tana de porich." According to the brisa that uses the ben shmoina chai as an argument, let's say against the effectiveness of shechita of a treifa. So treifa de shechitas metarasim in all day. From where does he know that slaughtering a treifa is in fact metahir it? Removes the tumas nevela from setting in. Answer, Nafgalei Mirvira Marav. He, this Brisa, will see as a source for that another point, another source. The Amar Vira Amarav, the Amri Law, another version of this is Bimasni Satana. The following teaching is of a is Tanaic. So there, either it's courtesy of Rav Yehuda Marav or a Tanaic source. We've put this in a frame to indicate the possibility of it being a Tanaic source. Omar Kraw, the Pasuk says, V'chiyomus min habehema. Miksa, now the expression min habehema, min means from, is a there's a, an element of limitation there. We should point out that this Pasuk speaks about, and we've written in the other words of the Pasuk that are relevant, Hanogea v'nivlasa yitmo ad ha'orev. That it, when it says in the Pasuk, V'chiyomus min habehema, it also says Hanogea v'nivlasa, there will be tuma. But we're focusing on the min habehema words. Miksas behema metama, some behemas are metama, miksas behema eino metama. And there are cases of animals that even though you can't eat from them, they are still not metama. The azozo, and what is the case of an animal that is dead, that is nevertheless not metama? Zu trefa sheshachta. That's an example of its being dead through having been shechted. It's a trefa that was shechted. Even though you can't eat it, nevertheless, it's not mitama. So that will be the alternative source for proving that the shechita of a trefa removes or prevents the tuma from setting in. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a Tanaic, we have a topic heading and structural note that accompanies this Gemara. As you scan ahead in the Gemara, you will notice a couple of diamonds. So under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we have the following. Hoshit Yodoi Lame'e Behema. A person extended his arm into an animal, a pregnant animal. V'shochat ben Teisha Chai. And slaughtered a full-term pregnancy fetus. And ha'im ze nechshav shchita, is this internal shchita considered a shchita? One, l'Rebbe Meir, and two, l'Rabbonan. Before going on, we just want to remind ourselves that Rebbe Meir and the Rabbonan have expressed their respective opinions regarding the relationship between a mother and its fetus in the realm of shchita. In previous discussions, in general terms, Rebbe Meir was more was leaning more to the direction of disconnection, and that was illustrated in his shita that if you have a pregnant cow and you shecht it and you discover inside of it a 9-month live fetus, according to Rebbe Meir, that 9-month live fetus, when it emerges, so to speak, into the world, it requires its own shechita. On the other hand, the Chachamim hold that the shechita of the mother removes the need for shechting that fetus, even though it continues to live, even though it emerges after the mother is shechted alive. Our question right now concerns an internal slaughtering. The length of the question is indicated by the long question mark, and you can see a shin representing she'ela to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical descending dashed line. Boy Rav Hoshaya, Hoshit es yodo lemei behema. Person extended his arm into a pregnant animal, v'shochat ben teisha chai mahu, and slaughtered a full-term pregnancy fetus. And what happens in this case, the fetus emerges while the mother is still alive. So he did an internal shechita job on this fetus. What is the din? The Gemara goes on and says, Tiboy l'Rabbi Meir, v'tiboy l'Rabbanan. There is room to ask this question within Shitas Rabbi Meir that we already are familiar with, and the Shita of the Rabbanan that we already are familiar with. In other words, with their previous Shitas on other cases. And the Gemara now goes over. Tiboy l'Rabbi Meir. You notice how we have the diamond here, and a few lines later, also the Rabbanan, meaning this question can be asked even according to the Rabbanan. So on the one side of things, and when we have a structure of Gemaras like this, this is with the O Dilma approach, we try to highlight both sides with an Aleph, and then after the O Dilma, Beis. So the first side is Tiboi the Rebbe Meir. This question can be raised according to the Rebbe Meir. Ad kan lokom Rebbe Meir ben pkua ton shita. Up till now, Rebbe Meir was saying that the Ben Pekua is the term used for the embryo found inside a slaughtered mother animal. So up till now, Rabbi Meir was saying that a Ben Pekua needs Shechita, and the Shechita is effective for it. Hanimili Hechad Yotzel Avir Oilam. That's assuming that it emerges into the open air. Aval Bemei Imoi. However, the slaughtering of it when it's inside its mother, Lo Sharya Le Shechita. The Shechita will be of no benefit when done, even though it's done directly to the embryo, that very same embryo or fetus. Had it been born, Rabbi Meir would say the Shechita would have been effective. Now here you have Rabbi Meir, who is an advocate, let's say, of the Shechita of 9-month fetuses. And he would be saying that the Shechita is ineffective. That would give us room for saying that certainly, according to the Rabbanan, this internal Shechita would not be effective. Because the Rabbanan themselves were never really viewing the Shechita of a 9-month pregnancy as being necessary. In this case, let's just remind ourselves, the mother remains alive. We're talking about the shechita of the embryo alone. And it emerges after it's been shechted internally, it emerges from a living mother. So if Rabbi Meir is going to say that the shechita is ineffective, then certainly, according to the Rabbanan, the shechita will be ineffective. Oy Dilma, or possibly from the other extreme, Afilu L'Rabbanan, Arba Simonim Achshir Bei Rachmona. When we've said till now that the shechita of, in the previous case, the shechita of a mother and inside of it is found alive, 9-month fetus, and the Rabbanan had said that the 9-month fetus found inside a slaughtered animal does not need Shechita. That's because in your mind's eye, there are 4 neck organs available for Shechita. 2 are required, and you have a choice. Either the mother's neck organs or the fetus's neck organs. So that when you have a mother shechted and a 9-month fetus is found inside the shechted mother, you accomplish shechita by doing the throat organs of the mother. But you have another 2 throat organs, the other 2 of the 4, the fetus's own throat organs. That would mean that the internal shechita of the fetus's throat organs would have been, it was an option also. And therefore, if you shechted, you slaughtered those organs while internal, it would be a good shechita. And certainly, according to Rabbi Meir, who in general was focusing on the throat organs of the fetus. In other words, Rabbi Meir, who had been known to say that the shechita of the mother does not help in the case of the shechita of the fetus found inside, because that fetus found inside has its own identity. Therefore, with this analysis, this Dalet Simonim analysis, certainly, according to Rabbi Meir, the shechita of the fetus would be effective. Well, the question has been raised. Omar Rav Hananya Ta Shma. We have the following source that will help settle this issue. Hare Shenoldo Trefo Min HaBeten. This was an example cited in the Mishnah as an attempt to show that to show something that that shechita does not help for. And as a result of this, we want the there was an attempt to show that the shechita of a treifa will not help. But as far as the quote is concerned, it says that a nolda treifa min abeten is an example of something that did not have a shas hakosher, meaning it was never available to be shechted. Now, the Esau, if it were so that shechita b'mei imo is an effective shechita, then mishkachas law, the hoysa law shas hakosher, then this thing had a shas hakosher. It had a point in time that it could have been, a fit. The e-boy ayo yodei v'shochta. If he wanted to, he could have inserted his arm into the mother and shechted this embryo. Namely, if internal shechitas are considered effective, so then this should not have been this case of nolda treifa min abeten, an animal born already a treifa, should not have been presented as an example of something that never was fit for shechita. It was fit if internal shechitas are considered effective. Had a shasa kosher if you had done an internal shechita. Amale Rava. Rava says, Tani, rather regard this source and read it differently. Shenoitzra trefa min habeten. An example of something that never had a shas hakosher is something that formed already as a trefa. And it's from its conception, so to speak, it was already forming as a trefa. U'mishkachas lo v'balas chamesh raglayim. That case would be where it was a fetus with five legs, three hind legs and two fore legs. That is considered a trefa. There's a principle, kol ha-yeser, kechoser dummy or kenotel dummy, anything that's extra is considered as if it's missing. So if it were missing a hind leg, it certainly would be considered a trefa. Therefore, by the extra hind leg, it's also considered kenotel dummy, as if it's missing. However, as a result of this rereading of the source, we are not therefore precluding the case of internal shechita. We're simply saying there is an example of a fetus or of a creature that never had a shas hakosher. That's a creature that's formed with five legs. However, an animal that happens to be born as a trefa, not formed, but rather born with, let's say, a hole in its lung, it could have been shechted internally prior to the development of this trefa. Prior to the development of the hole in it, so it had a shas hakosher. Before going on with the Mishnah, let us just go over together some of the Rashis that are relevant to the sukkah we just learned. There is a Rashi, the lower part of the narrow lines, Toshma. This is the Toshma that preceded the quote, Harei Shenol Da Trefa Min Abeten. Toshma, Disnan B'Masnisen, it was taught in the Mishnah, Harei Shenol Da Trefa Min Abeten, Minayin. From where would you know the issue of something born as a trefa? In other words, that the shechita of that would mitahir it when it appears to be something that is not like other trefas that had a shas hakosher, that were fit for shechita prior to the development of the trefa. Here it's born with the trefas. The kasaka daitoch, the havamina is, the afilu benishrafa shaw achas koidem leidosa ko'omar, that even if the trefas developed a moment before its actual birth, the lo hoysolo shasa kosher lishchat, that it was not fit for shechita. The lo chal olal Torah shechita, and therefore the rules of shechita, or the concept of shechita is not applicable to it. the next Rashi, Ve'im Esav, if it were so, the Shechita B'me'e Imoi Shechita Hi, that the internal Shechita was considered effective, like we had raised as a possibility, Hare Hoiso L'Trefazu Shasa Koshu L'Shechita Kodim Shenitrafa, it could have been shechted internally before it developed this organ deficiency while being a fetus. In other words, prior to its fetal organ deficiency development, it could have been shechted internally. So at this point, the Gemara had thought that you see from here that since this is described as lo hoiso lo shasa kosher, internal shechitas never would be effective. The Gemara then rejected this as evidence in that direction and said that the understanding of Nolda Trefam Ebeten really is it was Noitra Trefam Ebeten. It was formed that from its conception it was already a problem. However, if it was not conceived with a problem, but the problem developed later in its fetal growth, prior to the appearance of that Trefus, it could have experienced an internal shechita and been subject to shechita. The Mishnah: Hashochenes of behema umotzabo ben shmoina chai oy meis. A person slaughters an animal and finds in it a fetus, though it may be alive, but it's an eight month pregnancy, or dead. O ben tisha meis. Or he finds a 9 month pregnancy fetus that's already dead, but it was inside the mother when the shechita was taking place. Koro umotzi es domo. You rip it open, rip open this fetus, remove the blood, and you can eat it. The Mishnah is expressing the idea that the blood seems to be a problem. So remove the blood, and you're in. Now you can eat it. It should be pointed out that in these cases, everyone agrees that the shechita of the mother covers the fetus. However, there's another case, Motza ben Tisha Chai. If after shechting the mother you find a full-term pregnancy fetus still alive, Toun shechita, we'll see in a minute that this is Shitas Rabbi Meir. It, the fetus, requires its own Shita. The Chayav Boisui Vespino. And there's a portion of the Torah that says that you should not slaughter a mother and its offspring on the same day. Being that you shechted the mother, Rabbi Meir this Shita is telling us that the required shechita of the fetus should not be done on the same day that the mother had already been shechted. Divrei Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim omrim, shechitas imoi mitaroso. The Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Meir and say that the shechting of the mother covers this full term pregnancy live embryo as well, and that fetus, and that if you eventually want to eat this offspring, even you don't have to shecht it. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Omer, Afilu ben Chomesh Shonim v'choyresh basodeh. He says even if the live this embryo that was found inside, this fetus that was found inside that remained alive after the mother was shechted, and it grew and continued to develop even if it reached the advanced age of 5 years. It's just an expression, but it's a fully developed animal, and it's plowing in the fields. And one day you decide you want to eat it. You don't have to shecht it. Shechitas imoi mitaroso. The slaughtering of the mother is sufficient. Korah. Umotza bo ben teishachai. If you have an animal that's pregnant that you don't shecht, you simply ripped open its belly and found in it a ben teishachai, a full-term pregnancy live animal, toun shechita lefi shelo nishchata imo. It requires shechita because the mother was not shechted. Before continuing in the Gemara, we have a no say mivne heading. In the outside margin, you can see we have a double underline feature. And in this Gemara, we will see Shnei Lishonos Reb Lozer Amar Rabbi Yishaya Lo Hikilu Be'inyin Ben Pekua Ela Le'inyin either Shechita or Achila. This will become clearer as we go on in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yola Amar Rabbi Lozer Amar Rabbi Yishaya Lo Hilchu Boi. Now, the expression lo hilchu bo is a reference to a machlokes with someone being lenient. So that he's saying lo hilchu bo elo al iske shechita. There, the machlokes was limited to matters of shechita, and someone was being makil, like the Rabbanan, for example, someone was being makil only with regard to the issue of shechita, namely that there is no need for shechita. And we saw that in the case of shechting a mother and finding a full-term live fetus inside. So the Rabbanan were lenient, saying that you don't need to have shechita of that vlad, because the mother's shechita covered it. So there, the Rabbanan who were at odds with Rebbe Meir were at odds only with regard to this element of the need or lack of need for shechita. Vimutemai, to the exclusion of what other issue would we say that the Rabbanan would not be mekel? Vimute chelboi vigidoi. Chelev is a tissue matter found inside animals. Sometimes it's translated as forbidden fats. However, when you learn sugyas involving chelev, you discover that in many cases it appears to be some type of membranous material surrounding different organs, and one has to know which parts are allowed and which parts are forbidden. When we refer to chelev, we refer to the forbidden parts. So we're telling you here that as far as the chelev and gid is the gid hanoshe, sometimes translated, I've seen it translated as the sciatica nerve, but for our purposes we can simply refer to it as the gid hanoshe. It's a nerve in the hind leg of an animal, and that's called gid hanoshe, and it's forbidden. So this comment is saying that only with regard to the need for slaughtering is there any room for leniency. However, with regard to the chelev and the gid, there is no room for leniency. In other words, even the Rabbanan who are mekil, they're kula, their leniency is only with regard to shechita. Chelbo demai, which chelev are you talking about? Ilema chelbo deshliel, if you're talking about the chelev of the embryo itself, and suggesting that everyone is in agreement to its prohibition, well, that's not true. Miflag pliki, there is in fact a disagreement. Desanya, the source says, gid hanoshe noheg b'shliel v'chelboi osur, divrei Rebbe Meir, the prohibition of gid hanoshe and chelev, shliel is the fetus, is relevant. The prohibitions of gid hanoshe and chelev are relevant to fetuses. That's Rebbe Meir's opinion. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, eino noheg b'shliel v'chelbo mutar. Here you see an opinion that says that one does not have to concern himself with the gid and the chelev of a shliel. The shliel is the fetus found inside a slaughtered mother. It's not forbidden. The Omar Rebbe Lozer Amar Rebbe Yishaya Machlokes beben teisha chai. The whole machlokes is actually limited to the case of the full term fetus found inside a slaughtered animal. V'alach Rebbe Meir l'shitaso, Rebbe Yehuda l'shitaso. Rebbe Meir, in banning it, in forbidding the gid and chelev, is consistent with his opinion that views a ben teisha chai as a separate creature, and it's considered like a regular cow, if you will, and therefore the chelev and gid are forbidden. Rebbe Yehuda viewed it as simply a limb of the mother, and therefore it doesn't have the separate behemo identity, and therefore its chelev and gid are not viewed as standard chelev and gid. We have a bracketed section here, and this is a function, the brackets are a function of the girsa that Rashi has. Therefore, we're not going to learn the bracketed section. The length indicator is seen to the immediate right-hand side of the more text, a vertical dash dotted line. skipping the bracketed section, Elo, I itmar, hochi itmar. Since we found that the first version, the Roman numeral number one version of Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Shaya, was inaccurate, because he presented his case as saying that regarding Chaylev and Gid of the embryo, there is no disagreement and everyone agrees to its stringency and prohibition. We saw that Rabbi Yehuda was in fact lenient. Elo iitmar hochi itmar, but rather, if anything is to be said, we'll say the following, and this is a second version. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Shaya, lo hilchu boi elo al iske achila bilvad. There was a machlokes, and the leniency was found only within the realm of eating matters. Eating, for example, the chaylev and gid, where Rabbi Yehuda was mekil, but that's limited. In other words, the leniency of Rabbi Yehuda regarding the ben teisha chai is limited to eating matters, lim ute, to the exclusion of other areas, roiv oi v'chayresh boi. Rov oi has to do with kilayim. In other words, to take this 9 month or this full term pregnancy and mate it with a with another variety of animal, for example, a taking a sheep and goat and mating them, that would be forbidden. And choreshbo is also a prohibition of having it plow as it develops and having it attaching it with another variety of animal. Lo sachrosh b'shor b'chamor yachdov. The pasuk says, "Don't plow with attached simultaneously or at the same time a shor and a chamor." So, with regard to those areas, even Rabbi Yehuda will be machmir and views it as a regular creature. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish, l'divrei ha-matir b'chelbo, matir b'domo. Here we're starting a new discussion where we saw leniency with regard to chelev. What will be the story with regard to the dam? Will there be leniency also, possibly, with regard to the blood of the 9 month full-term pregnancy fetus found inside a slaughtered mother? So we see here a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says that according to the one that's matir the chalif, we saw that was Rabbi Yehuda, matir bedomo, he will be lenient with regard to the blood. This expression matir bedomo will be clarified a bit later in the Gemara, but for our purposes now, we'll view this as being some type of leniency. According to the opinion we saw, for example, Rabbi Meir above, who stated prohibition with regard to the chelev, there will be prohibition with regard to the blood. For Rabbi Yochanan Omar, af ledivrei hamatir bechelbo, even according to the opinion that expressed leniency with regard to the chelev, oser bedomo, Rabbi Yehuda would express prohibition with regard to the blood. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan l'Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan, who presented a more strict approach, who was machmir bedam, raises an objection to Reish Lakish and states the following: Koroi umotzi es domoi. The Mishnah said that if you find a 9 month pregnancy, the fetus, a 9 month per hour, Mishnah had mentioned, if you find a ben teisha mace inside a shechted mother, you're expected to tear it open and remove its blood. So it seems that even according to the allowance of the chelev, nevertheless, there is stringency with regard to the blood. That would pose a difficulty to Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, who said matir bedomo. Amar Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera answers that which Reish Lakish said, matir bedamo, doesn't mean that you're allowed to eat it. And therefore he conforms to the Mishnah that says, tear it open and remove its blood. So therefore Rabbi Zera says, lomar, that which Reish Lakish said, matir bedamo, is simply saying, she'ein onush kores. It doesn't carry with it the severe kores penalty, which is characteristic of eating the eating of what's called lifeblood of animals. There are different categories of dam which are expressed or featured more extensively in Maseches Krisos, but for our purposes right now, we're saying that the blood of the fetus is forbidden, and Reish Lakish acknowledges that, and that's what the Mishnah says, koroi motzias domo. But when Reish Lakish said matir bedomo, his intention was simply to say it doesn't carry the severe penalty characteristic of other types of blood eating, namely it does not carry with it the kores penalty. Well, leman koamri, according to whom are we building up our case? In other words, who is it that is matir bechelbo? The discussion or the machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan was according to the one who was matir bechelbo. Well, who is that? Le Rebbe Yehuda. It happens to be according to Rebbe Yehuda. So that if we focus our point right now using Rebbe Zeira's answer, Reish Lakish is telling us that Shitas Rebbe Yehuda is that the dam of the embryo does not carry with it a kores penalty. We now ask, lo yehe elo dam hatamsis, let the blood of the embryo be considered no different than dam hatamsis. Dam hatamsis is a reference to those other kinds of blood that are not dam hanefesh. Dam hanefesh is the lifeblood of an animal. When you slaughter an animal, there are different stages of blood emergence. The first blood that emerges is not the lifeblood. This is described in greater detail in Maseches Krisos, which describes a darkening color of blood as it's flowing out of the animal. When the darkened blood emerges, that's the lifeblood of the animal. The other blood, we can refer to it as dam hatamsis. So let us say, all right, you want to say that the blood of the embryo is not dam hanefesh. Let's agree with that. Let it be, however, no different than dam hatamsis. And, well, let's see, what does Rabbi Yehuda say about dam hatamsis? Desanya, we have a Tanaic source that says, dam hatamsis b'azhara. There's a Tanakama, which is of less significance for our current discussion. He says that the dam hatamsis, in fact, carries with it an azhora penalty, which means it's a violation of a lav, a negative command, but it's not kores-oriented. Rabbi Yehuda omer b'kores, and this is what we have to focus on. Rabbi Yehuda says that dam hatamsis does carry with it a kores penalty. So this now creates a problem for Rabbi Zeira's Hesber. Rabbi Zeira, just a few lines up, said that according to Reish Lakish's opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the blood of the fetus would not be chayev kores. But here we see, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that non-dam hanefesh does carry with it a kores penalty. The Gemara answers, Tirgama Rav Yosef Breder of Salah Hasida Kamei de Rav Papa. Rav Yosef explained in the presence of Rav Papa, Is lay the Rabbi Yehuda dam v'chol dam. The Pasuk says v'chol dam. And he has a drosha based on this that from which we will see all our problems resolved. Kol hecha de mechayev adam hanefesh, mechayev adam hatamsis. In any case where there would be a dam hanefesh problem, for example, a standard animal, when you shecht it, there emerges from it the lifeblood. And that lifeblood certainly carries with it a kores penalty. So in situations like that, its dam hatamsis also carries with it the kores penalty. However, there's another situation. V'cholhecha d'lo mechayev adam hanefesh, but where there is no penalty on the dam hanefesh. For example, the shliel, the fetus, found inside a shechted mother, that fetus does not have dam hanefesh. It's not being shechted. It's just considered a limb or an appendage of the mother. Lo mechayev adam hatamsis. So it doesn't carry with it any the kores of dam hatamsis either. And therefore, we can substantiate or legitimatize Rabbi Zeiro's hesber for Reish Lakish, namely the fetus blood, though it's forbidden to be eaten, mati b'domo would mean that it doesn't carry with it a kores penalty. As you can see, we have a diamond marking, and on the outside margin under the nosei mivneh heading, we combine the topic heading with structural note, we have a diamond featured, she'elois be'inyan ben pekua. We have questions regarding the ben pekua. Mahu liftois peter chamor bese ben pekua. A firstborn donkey, the Torah says that you either redeem it, transfer its sanctity, if you will, onto a sheep, or kill it. In other words, if you refuse to transfer, if you refuse to do the ceremony of Pidyon Petach Hamor, then you cannot use the donkey. That's, of course, we're talking about a firstborn donkey. So the question our Gemara will deal with is, in looking at the 9-month live pregnancy that emerges from a shechted mother, how far do we go in viewing it as a full-fledged animal? Would you be able to do pidyon petach hamor onto it as if it were a regular sheep? Another issue, nitma'a behema shchuta, mahu limnois ben pekua, ben teishachai, bebeten imo, kerishon o kesheni letuma. If a shechted mother happened to have come into contact with an av hatuma, that's a primary level of tuma, things that that an av hatuma touches become a rishon letuma. What happens with regard to the live 9-month pregnancy? Are we viewing it also as a rishon letuma or as a separate entity, and hence it would be called a sheni letuma? So now the Gemara. Ibayaloho, mahu liftois beben pekua. Would you be able to do pidyon petach hamor using this 9-month term fetus? Aliba de Rabbi Meir lo tibayaloch. As far as Shitas Rabbi Meir is concerned, there is no question. Dekevan di Omar ben teishachai ton shchita, since he has already expressed his opinion that it requires its own slaughtering, the fact that it was found inside a slaughtered mother is of no concern, of no help. Se me'al Yehu, it's a full-fledged se, and therefore eligible for being part of the pidyon petach hamor. The question is raised according to the Rabbonon, the Amri Shchitas Imoi Metaharosoi Mai. The Rabbonon who have already said that the slaughtering of the mother is in effect its slaughtering, the slaughtering of the Ben Teishachai. Mai, what is the din? So, here too we have two sides of analysis, and we call it Aleph Oi Dilma Beis. Kevon di Amri Shitas Imo Mitaroso, since we say that the slaughtering of the mother is mitahirit, it covers it, kibisra b'dikula hu, it's viewed as simple meat in a basket, dikula basket, namely, it's not considered a se worthy of pidyon petach hamor, oi dilma. Kevon de rohit v'azil, the rohit v'asi, since it's running around, after all, it was found as it's a full-term pregnancy, 9-month pregnancy, that you took out of the slaughtered mother, and it's alive, and it runs, and it develops. And since it's running around, se karina bay, we can refer to it the term se. Marzutra Omar, ein poidin. Rav Zutra says, he emphasizes the First, the Aleph says you cannot use it for pidyon. Rav Ashi Omar Poidin, that you can use it. Omale Rav Ashi Lamar Zutra. Rav Ashi, who says you view it as a seh, turns to his opponent and says, "My daitoch, what is the basis of your hesitancy, of your restriction? The gamris seh seh mipsachim, is it because you learn a gezera shava, a word comparison between the topic of pidyon peter chamor and a korban pesach? And we know that when it comes to a korban pesach, since it's a sacrifice, the ben pekua, the fetus found inside slaughtered mother, is not eligible. Well, if you are learning seh seh from sochem, well then ima lahalon seh zohar tamu ben shana, are you going to carry this word comparison all the way and say that just like by a korban pesach it has to be a male, it has to be without blemish, and it has to be under a year of age. Af kan, so too Zohar Tamim Uben Shana, by Petach Hamor, are you going to apply all of these restrictions? We know that we don't. So Mar Zutra answers, Tifdeh, Tifdeh Riba. The word Tifdeh appears in the Parsha, and it appears a couple of times, giving us the feeling or the halacha that you have more options when it comes to the pidyon petach hamor eligibility, the seh eligibility for redeeming the firstborn donkey. You have more options than you have by the korban pesach. Well, if that's the case, e tifteh tifteh riba. So Ravashi asks back, if tifteh riba, then afilu kol mili nami, then go all the way and include even the ben pakua. Answer, im kain se maya haniloch. Well, if you're going to go all the way, then of what benefit will the comparison to psachim be? There won't be any benefit because the standards applied in that case to the Petach Hamor, where I will include even the Ben Pekua, will render the Pidyon Petach Hamor topic as totally disconnected from Pesach, and I'll have no benefit from this comparison. Therefore, in order to have both elements, the yes comparison to Pesach and Riba and go beyond Pesach, we say that as far as Ben Pekua, we compare Petach Hamor to Pesach. With regard to the other restrictions, Zohar Tomim Ben Shana, we say Tifteh Tifteh Riba, and don't compare the Petach Hamor, Pidyon Petach Hamor, to the Pesach. Ibai Alaho, and as mentioned before, the other question, Mahu Limnois Boy Rishon Vesheni. We're talking about a 9-month pregnancy fetus found alive inside its mother. Do we count it as a Rishon or as a Sheni? And as we explained before, we're talking about a case where the mother that was shechted was Tomei. The meat of a slaughtered animal is subject to Mekabel Tuma. Even though live animals are not subject to Kabbalas Tuma, the shechted mother is. So the shechted mother became Tomei. And you found inside of it the Ben Teisha Chai. And according to the Rabbonin, we know that it does not need Shechita. Well, how do we count it with regard to Tuma? Is it considered a separate entity and therefore it would drop down to being a Sheni Lutuma, the mother being a Rishon, this becoming a Sheni because it's separate from the mother? Or do we say it's part of the mother, Mamish, and therefore just like the mother is a Rishon, first level Tuma, so it too is included in that? The Gemara goes on and presents this as a Machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Moinin Boy Rishon Vesheni. We view them as two separate entities. The mother is a Rishon, and the Vlad, the fetus, is a Sheni. Rav Shimon Lachish Omer, Ein Monin Bo Rishon V'Sheni. Na Se Ke'egois Hamiskashkesh V'Kliposo. We don't count it as first and second levels, but rather as one entity, and it's no different than, let us say, a nut that's banging in its shell. Namely, if a if the tumah touched the shell of a nut with the meat of the nut inside, the whole thing becomes a rishon l'tumah. As you can see, we have triangles that, as you go on in the Gemara, appear in two different directions. These are questions coming from two different directions. One is Reish Lakish posing a question to Rabbi Yochanan, and the other is Rabbi Yochanan posing a question to Reish Lakish. Eisvei Reb Shimon ben Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. This is referring to a case of a shechita of the mother with a limb of the fetus extended outside. So, Eisvei Reb Shimon Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. Habosar, the meat of the ubar, the meat of the fetus that's still inside, Mago Nevela, Divrei Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim Omrim, Mago Trefa Shchuta. According to Rabbi Meir, and this is something that we've seen before, the fetal meat is considered as if it touched Nevela, and will be Tomei. According to the Chachamim, it's viewed as if it touched Trefa, and has ramifications only with regard to sacrifices and not to common animals. Bishlamo Ludidi, Damino Chad, Gufahu. According to me, says Reish Lakish, that it's viewed as one entity. Now, before going on, we have to mention that food absorbs tumah, and included in food is meat, and that's what we're talking about now, provided it was mukhshar lekabel tumah, it had contact with some kind of liquid that enables it to become eligible for absorbing tumah. So Reish Lakish says, according to my approach, that fetus and mother are considered as one, then I understand that the ubar meat, the fetal meat, became mukhshar lekabel tumah through the blood of its mother, the mother that was shechted. Blood is one of the liquids that enables things to receive tumah, to absorb tumah. Eladitcha, but according to you, Rabbi Yochanan, that views the fetus as a separate entity from the mother, b'may iskasher, what enabled the ubar to become mukhshar lekabel tumah? The mother is one thing and the ubar is something else. Omar lei, so Rabbi Yochanan answers, b'shchita uke Rabbi Shimon. There's a unique sheet of Rabbi Shimon that says, hechshir lekabel tumah comes even through a dry, a bloodless shchita. The fact that shchita took place and that the shchita covers the ubar, that is machshirit lekabel tumah. Now the tables are turned. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan asks on Reish Lakish, you have a case of a ben teisha chai that was found inside a mother that was shechted, and this ben teisha chai grew and continued to live. And the story continues, Ovar Benohar, if it, the Ben Teshachai, swims in a river and becomes wet with water, Huchshar, it now becomes subject to Kabbalah's Tumah, prior to which it sounds like it wasn't. Holach Lebeis HaKvaros Nitma, if this animal then wanders into a cemetery, it will become Tomei. According to me, says Rabbi Yochanan, Damino Tre Gufi Ninu, that the fetus and mother are viewed as two separate entities. Mishum Hachi, because of that, Huchsher In Lo Huchsher Lo, that only if it had become wet by its swim in the river will it be subject to the absorption of Tumah when it takes its stroll in the cemetery. However, Lo Huchsher, if it didn't take the swim, it wouldn't be subject to Kabbalah's Tumah. Namely, the slaughtering of the mother, in effect, had no hechsher effect on the fetus. That's in consonance with my opinion, says Rabbi Yochanan. But according to you, Reish Lakish, who says that fetus and mother are considered one entity, then it already became mukhshir lekabel tumah through the slaughtering of the mother. Why, in this source, does it feature the need for it to have taken a swim in the river? The Gemara answers, "Bishchita yaveshta udalo k'Rabbi Shimon." I will explain, says Reish Lakish, that this source is, first of all, it's not like Rabbi Shimon, and therefore we were talking about a case where the mother was shechted and no blood emerged. That's called a dry shechita, and therefore there was no hechsher from the mother's standpoint. Therefore it needed a subsequent hechsher, namely the swim in the river. But had its mother been shechted with an emergence of blood, that would have been the hechsher for the fetus, because they are viewed as one entity. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.